We continue our gospel readings from the Gospel of Mark. And last week and the weeks before, we've been hearing about the miracles that Jesus has been doing there around Capernaum and the Sea of Galilee. And today we continue that story from Mark chapter 7, beginning with verse 24. Glory to you, O Lord. From there, Jesus set out and went away to the region of Tyre. And he entered a house, not wanting anyone to know that he was there, yet could not escape notice. There was a woman whose daughter, young daughter, had an unclean spirit. And immediately she heard about him and came and bowed before Jesus. Now the woman was a Samaritan of Syrophoenician origin. And she begged him to cast a demon out of her daughter. And Jesus said to her, "Let the children be fed first. It is not fair to take the food from the children's table and throw it to the dogs." And the woman answered, "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the crumbs from the children." Jesus said to her, "For saying that, you may go. The demon has left your child." So she went home and found the child lying in the bed and the demon gone. Then Jesus left Tyre and went by way of Sidon to the Sea of Galilee in the Decapolis. And they brought to him a deaf man who had a speech impediment. And they begged him to lay his hands on him. So Jesus took him aside in private and put his fingers in his ears and spat and touched his tongue. Then he looked up to heaven and sighed. He said, "Ephphatha," which means "be opened." And immediately the man's ears were open and his tongue was loosed, and he began to speak freely. And he ordered them, "Do not tell anyone." Yet the more he ordered them, the more they proclaimed it. They were utterly astonished. And they were saying, "He does everything well. He even makes the deaf to hear and the mute to speak." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. And I'd like to invite the children. Nigel, why don't you come on up? This is our first Sunday for Word for the Children. And so any children that would like to go hear some stories, they're going to hear, Nigel's going to read a children's book to them and also a story and have some conversation with them. And they're going to be just right out there in the nice comfortable chairs there in the narthex. All right, is everybody there? All right, if you'll follow Nigel out and just head on back there, and you're going to go sit right outside there in the chairs. Okay, follow Nigel out. Going this way. They're not the only ones confused. Here, can I walk you out? No, you got it. Excellent. You're going to be right out there. And any parents that would like to go out and sit with them, that's fine too. All right. Yeah, sometimes when us adults speak, it's not the most interesting for the children. And so this is our intention is to have them hear the stories of the Bible and hear the gospel, the level that they understand. Let's go ahead and close the doors also. Thank you. And in the bulletin, we call this time Word for the Children and Word for the Adults. And so that's another way of saying it's time for my sermon or message. So grace and peace be to you from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Seems like this week's news has been dominated by the story of the Syrian refugees. And of course, it was a crisis which had been brewing for a while, and there were images of hungry trying to stop folks But then there was a photograph. A photograph of a Turkish soldier holding the body of a young child. And I think there's been a lot of conversation about why that photo in particular has created so much conversation and gained so much attention. And I think part of it, a big part of it, is it gets us in touch, especially those of us that are parents, of how hard it is sometimes to make decisions for your children, and how far you will go out of your commitment, out of our commitment, to care for them. And of course, what's heart-wrenching about that story is that the father survived, but the child and the children didn't. As I was contemplating our gospel today, that image and the conversation around it and the emotions it brought up resonated with this story about the Syrophoenician woman. She was a mother, clearly. She had at least one child. We don't know if she had others. But she had a young daughter who was possessed by a demon or an unclean spirit. And it doesn't tell us, but you can guess that she had been trying to do everything that she could so that her child might be healed, so her child might have a shot at life, at a healthy life. And nothing had worked. Her child still had the unclean spirit. So she's up there in a place called Tyre. The significance of that is it's way up north, outside of Israel, in Gentile land. And even tells us that Jesus went away. He'd been healing folks. He had the feeding of the 5,000. He'd been doing all these miracles. And he went away. And he went to this house and didn't want anybody to know that he was there. It's almost like he had a sense he needed a vacation. He needed to get away from it for a second. So he's up here in Gentile land trying to hide out. And this woman hears about him. I don't even know if she knew his name. But she must have heard that this was someone who might be able to heal her daughter. And so this woman then, in essence, goes barging into this house, falls at his feet, and begs him to heal her daughter. In some sense, it's just utterly ridiculous. If you think about who Jesus is, the Son of God, the Messiah, someone who could feed thousands at a time, someone who could walk on water, someone that could heal right and left, someone that knew the Bible inside and out because Jesus was the Word. And so she comes to him and begs him to heal her daughter, and what he says is the children are to be fed first. It's not fair to throw the children's food to the dog. There's a whole sermon just in the language he uses there, because dogs was a derogatory term used toward Gentiles by the Jews. When he talks about children, of course, he's referring to the children of Israel. And clearly, Jesus' work had been amongst the children of Israel. He was born in Bethlehem. He'd been to Jerusalem. He'd been preaching in synagogues. And all of his activity really had been with Jews up to this point. He was their Messiah. They were the chosen people. He was sent first to the Jews. Now, that should have shut her up. He was the one in authority. She was the one intruding. If he decides it's not going to happen, it's not going to happen, right? But then she takes his words, turns them around and says, "But sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Now, It could be that she was just clever. She was a good debater, someone who could twist words around and kind of surprise people. But I don't think that's the reason why Jesus did what he did. I think Jesus was confronted with someone whose commitment and love for their child was so strong, so true, so pure, so powerful that it made a difference for Jesus. In the Greek, well, in the translation that I told, it says, Jesus says, for saying that, you may go. But in the Greek, it actually says, for giving that word. For giving that logos is the Greek word for word. So for giving that word, you may go, your child, the demon has left your child. In essence, that woman gave a word to Jesus that Jesus needed to hear, that Jesus needed to receive. And it was the power of her love, the power of her commitment. I would say her humble boldness that allowed Jesus to hear that word. And that word, according to the text, changed Jesus' mind. Because now he chose to heal that Gentile child and to listen to this woman who had no status, who had no business telling him what to do, but out of her commitment, out of her love for her child, dared to come and ask him and dared to challenge what he said so that her child might have a chance for life. That word made a difference. If you read on in the Gospel of Mark, it goes on to talk about how Jesus then goes around that land. And this is it continues with him going back to the Decapolis. The Decapolis is Greek for 10 cities. There were 10 Roman cities that had been built in that area. That was a Gentile area. Jesus goes back to the Decapolis and he heals the deaf man who was probably a Gentile. And then he goes on and people start hearing about it because they couldn't keep quiet. And all of a sudden, thousands start showing up to hear the words of this man who healed a deaf and mute man. And those would have been Gentiles. So just like a chapter or two before, he'd fed the 5,000 Jewish men. Now he goes on and feeds the 4,000 Gentile people. And it begins a shift in his ministry, where not only is he now speaking to and proclaiming the word to the Jews, but now it's on to the Gentiles, those that weren't part of the chosen race, that weren't born into that inherent right as a chosen people. It was those people like us. It was because of that, the word that woman gave to Jesus, that it broke through whatever rules and regulations that, and in essence, told Jesus, there is no second class. We are all first class in the eyes of God. And from then on, Jesus said yes to the deaf and blind man. He said yes to those 4,000 Gentiles. He said yes to the people in Samaria. Said yes through Paul and the other disciples to the people in Greece, the people in Rome, the people in Europe, the people in Africa, and yes to the people here in North America. It is the word that she gave that made a difference. In a few moments, we're going to baptize. And as I put together, I'm preaching a sermon on a day where we're having a baptism. It'd be nice if there's a tie-in. And then it just struck me right between the eyes. Baptism is about our humble boldness, our daring to come before God and say, God, please accept our child as one of your children. The humbleness knows that we've done nothing to deserve this. We're all sinners. Brendan hasn't done anything except be born, right? What has he done to deserve this? How dare we come and say, God, receive this child, claim this child as your own, forgive his sins, welcome him into the family and grant him eternal life. How dare we say that? We are bold because of Christ. We are bold because we trust and claim the very love made manifest in Jesus. We humbly and boldly come and say, God, do your divine work. Grant your Holy Spirit. Move around us. Do for us that which we cannot do. And it goes back to a mother of a child. Humbly and boldly. Daring, demanding, asking, pleading, just a sheer commitment that our child's well-being should come first and needs to come first, that began the outward movement of the Holy Spirit from Jesus. That kind of humble boldness that breaks through rules and regulations, that breaks through all these great policies that we have. May we have the same courage to recognize when a word is being spoken to us. A word that comes out of a commitment of love that's pure and true, that allows us to recognize the person in front of us and to put our faith into action and to love. Amen.